Thank you. Thank you. Stand, please.
Thank you. You may be seated. It's my privilege to welcome you to the celebration of life for Brother Barry Fox. And we'd like to make sure that you remember the family in your prayers in the upcoming days. We're going to begin our service by turning to number 497 in our hymn book, 497. We're going to remain seated and sing In the Sweet By and By, number 497.
Sweet by and by.
Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we are truly grateful for an opportunity to be here. We thank you, Lord, for each person that's come this way to celebrate the life of Brother Barry Fox. We ask you, Father, that you would give us attentive hearts as we hear the message that our pastor has prepared. We pray, Father, that each person here today would be in prayer for the family, that you would help them to comfort them in the time that only you can. We're so grateful that you are that friend that sticks closer than a brother. We're so grateful that we can depend on you when there's a time of need. And we pray today that you might comfort them in only the way that you can. We pray that you would wrap your loving arms around them and show them that you're here. Show them that you'll keep them near and help them to draw closer to you. We pray today that you would be with each aspect of the service, that it might honor and glorify our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Well, if you would, turn with me to number 73. 73 for our next song. We'll sing "It Is Well With My Soul." Now the choir is going to be singing "The Steps of a Good Man."
sunshine or rain, the steps of the good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the
Now this time we're going to have a period of remembrances of Barry. If you have any memories that you would like to share with the family, they would like for you to do so. So we're going to give you the floor, one at a time, please, and share some thoughts that you have of Barry.
Skip, when we got up out there, and we play, and of course Skip would always be leading, even when it was tied 15 love. He'd say, 15 love, I'm my favorite. But we enjoyed a great time with Barry. We went out a lot of times to play, and I was fortunate enough to buy one of my first cars from Barry. I had an XR7, and he had redone it, and it did about 120 miles an hour, and I tested it, because I know, but anyways, I had a lot of good time with Barry. I appreciate a lot of things we did. I appreciated his steadiness and his faithfulness. I remember when I first came to this church, Barry and his family came in, and he was here every Sunday, every day, and I appreciated him, and I had a good, like I said, good memory of him from all these years.
We weren't super duper. I did mention something yesterday to Jennifer's husband. Told him that me and Barry were in prison together. Most of you know what that means, but I left it right there. You wonder about it. But it was explained to him since then. before I became a janitor, and even after I was a janitor, maintenance engineer, here at the church, who helped us clean the school many nights, clean this church. Wasn't his job, volunteered, but it was always good to meet with Barry. Doing things for the Lord. He even went with me to Jimmy Morrison with Peter King and Sissy and Bob Kersling. I just appreciate that he gave himself for the Lord in many ways. That's all I have to say.
Oh, we bought our first car after we were married from Barry.
I'm Bob Kersley, and I was in the military with George Kellerton there and Steve Tweedy. And when I was still a lost ex-Roman Catholic, religious but lost person, I came to Southern Pines, and the first Bible study I remember ever going to was at Barry's house when he lived over here on Dan Street in a little cottage that the pastor's own. And we had a little Bible study, eating pizza that Gene made. And, you know, as a Catholic, we didn't read the Bible or study it. We didn't eat pizza doing it. But Barry just shared the scriptures with us. And I do remember Barry being so faithful, coming to cottage prayer meeting that we have on Fridays, and studying the Bible, talking about the Bible, about the Lord, His Savior, and coming to work days that we would hold on Saturdays, working down here, building the school, taking care of the church, like Steve was saying. Barry was a good inspiration, and he lived his Christian faith and showed it. And Gene was very kind as well. They raised their kids here at Calvary Christian School. And later, I followed that same example and had my kids raised here. And went from daycare to 12th grade here. And I don't regret a minute of that. But Barry was a good example of how a Christian should live and did live. And I will miss it very much.
Laura reminded me that Barry and Jane were the first church couple that invited us to eat at their house after we got married. We used to live out there next door to Bryant. Tim Owens, Bryant's former brother-in-law, was there. He asked Jane if she made that apple pie with real apples. She did.
Love you, Gene. And the kids, you're very special.
thank the Lord that he's in peace, he is at peace now. Now, I know he got a lot of pain, and Lord's got him up there. He's listening right now.
Amen. I'm going to try to do this. Barry is a lifelong friend that everybody that he knew. He befriended me as a kid in a department store. You could call Barry and say, "Barry, I need help." He never said, "Doing what?" He would say, "Where are you? I'm on my way." I told the grandkids, everybody needs to strive to be more like Barry Fox.
Well, when he was working on the church on Saturdays and doing those things, it had to be around the church to Sanford to take care of him. You know, if we would see his car passing on US 1, he befriended animals in the places that he worked, and he would travel to take care of him. And he and my husband rescued some animals out of a storm drain several years ago. And I know Gene is thankful that we were able to get him adopted. He might have really like $4 or $5 by now. among his empathy for people and his caring for people, he just had this large place in his heart for animals. And that always just touched me very much. And besides the impact he made on his church and the people that were here with him, you know, as his profession, like this gentleman said, there's lots of people in this room that work for him in body shops and things like that. And just like his sharing his spirit will live on with each of you and impact your lives, he impacted so many people in his trade. You know, he taught people, and those skills will continue and they'll be able to share. And I just think that's pretty awesome that, you know, he's touched so many of us in so many ways.
I'd just like to say, Barry taught me from coming out of college to do body work. He did the trade. I've never laughed so much with an individual. I'm there today, tried the jokes, everything. But Barry taught me about life, and I remember taught me how to run out to a car open the hood before somebody came, so we'd be working on it. But he taught me also, if you do the job right and fix it right, they'll always come back. And it was just he was like a father to me.
And we can't forget that on 4th of July, that we always went to Barry and Jean's house. They always had their yard open for anybody that wanted to go there. That was a blessing.
Anybody else?
For those that don't know my name, it's significant to the story. My name is Michael Pies. Years gone by when we used to have the March for Life, it wasn't a bus that was driven up there. Everybody got in their car and drove up there. So we usually have a train going up to Washington, D.C., on one occasion, it wasn't in January, it was a couple months later, it was a special weekend, and it was called the Rally for Life that on that special weekend. So we had our train of cars going up there, and we got around the D.C. Beltway, and everybody had their CBs communicating with everybody else. And someone said, "Hey, I don't know if you recognize it or not, but we got a fox chasing a pie."
Be hard to chase it the other way around.
forgot to say that we used to call him Brer Fox.
Brer Fox. Okay, anybody else? Okay, our pastor's going to be speaking now.
Scripture reading this afternoon is from Joshua chapter 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we pray that you would calm our hearts for a few moments. We pray that we might allow your Spirit to speak to our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We do want to welcome you again to this service as we celebrate the homegoing of Barry Fox. Barry was a wonderful husband and father. He was a friend to so many of you. And he is to his spiritual family here at Calvary Memorial Church, our brother in Christ. And we miss him. Testimonies are not always in words. Testimonies, Brother Dan Carr used to say, when he would speak and come to the end of his message, he would say, go out and be a testimony for the Lord this week, and if you have to, use words. And Brother Barry had a tremendous testimony here, because in spite of being in pain, and it hurt to watch him walk, and yet his delight was to walk in that back door and be here for the services. That's a testimony to people about how important it is to be in the Lord's house and have a desire to be there. In the eternal sense, which is what's important, how God looks at things, this service is not for Barry. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 2, I think of this verse at every funeral. The Lord tells us who this service is for. He says there, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. And then he tells us why it's like that. It's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men. The house of mourning is the end of all men. And a little later in that seventh chapter of Ecclesiastes, Solomon tells us why, that this is the end of all men. He says, for there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. These verses here in the Old Testament are the New Testament message of Romans 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. That's why this house that we are in today, the house of mourning, is the end of all men. Because of sin. Because of our sin. It's appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment. This is the seriousness of this service today. And then in Ecclesiastes 7:2, the Lord gives us His purpose for this service. It's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. This service is for the living this afternoon. This service is for you and me. And God has brought us here that we might lay to our heart the most important reality of life. And that reality is death. all through our lives. I've been thinking about this over the course of several years and a number of funerals. All through our lives, the Lord, in His mercy, brings us to the house of mourning, brings us to a service like this. And He does that to show us our end, that we might contemplate in our heart, what kind of end are we going to have? That's why we've come to these verses in Joshua chapter 1. The word to Joshua and the people of God is, Moses, my servant, is dead. And there are two words that I want to call your attention to there. They're the words, my servant. If Joshua 1 and verse 2 said, Moses is dead, those would be words of tragedy. But Moses, my servant, is dead. Those are words of triumph. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 3, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulations. The death of the only leader that these people in Israel had ever known was a tribulation. It brought distress and anguish. That's what the word tribulation means. But the comfort of God in those moments came to His people, and it came in two words, my servant. What a blessing those words are. My servant. And they're a blessing because they take the sting out of the word dead. On Tuesday, the Fox and Blanchard families received news of the death of a husband and a father. It's news from a human perspective that brings distress and sorrow and anguish. And that's normal. That's a normal and a natural reaction. We're made in the image of God, and we have His emotions. The Lord Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus. We backed up just a page at the last verses of Deuteronomy chapter 33. We would find that the children of Israel wept for Moses 30 days. We're in the place today that's called the house of mourning because there is a time to weep. But the word of the God of all comfort to this family today, the word from the one who comforteth us in all our anguish and sorrow and sadness and distress are the same two words that He spoke to Joshua and Israel. My servant. Those two words describe Brother Barry Fox. Because there had come that time in his life when he turned to God from his sin. He believed the message of the gospel and he trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And so those two words, my servant, take the sting out of the news that this family received on Tuesday afternoon. Those two words, my servant, remind us of Psalm 116 and verse 15. And again, we're thinking about these things from the perspective of God. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Paul writes to those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1, For we know, that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, what a comforting way to describe death. This body is just a house that we live in. It houses the real us, our spirit and our soul. And we know, Paul says, that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Barry has just exchanged houses. That's what he's done. He's exchanged a temporary house. that is subject to sickness and pain and suffering because of sin, and ultimately dissolving in death because of sin. And he's exchanged that house for an eternal house, not made with hands in the heavens. And then verse 2 says, "For in this we groan." In this we groan. This earthly house, this physical body, can be in great pain as it dissolves over a period of years. Barry knew something about that pain. In his hip, in his back. Now, as I mentioned a moment ago, as long as he could, as long as he could physically make it, he came to the services. Think about that verse. "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Now think about how many of us waste our health. Waste our health. Waste these days when we have health and strength and live relatively pain-free. And what do? So many times we find all kinds of other things to do than to be in church. But Barry is not groaning today. He's completely well, because he is clothed upon with his house, which is from heaven. And Paul goes on to say in that chapter in verse 8, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." The moment that Barry's soul left his body, he was with the Lord. He's there now. What is faith to you and me? We sang the song in the sweet by and by. And by faith we can see it afar, this land that is fairer than day. And yet, this afternoon, Brother Barry is seeing it with his own eyes for himself. It's not faith to him now. He's with the Lord. Psalm 16 and verse 11 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." That is the comfort and the joy and the blessing of these two words. My servant, my servant. And the living here in this service who have turned to God from their sin, the living who believe that Jesus died and rose again, that's the gospel. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, "Therefore I declare unto you the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." And he said in Romans 10 verse 9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's the gospel. And the living here who have believed that message can lay these two words, "my servant," to their heart and sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Because very soon, sooner than we can even imagine, the Lord Himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's Barry. Then we, those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and are still alive, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. There's the reunion of the redeemed. The reunion of the redeemed. To meet the Lord in the air. The reunion of the redeemed with their Redeemer. What a day that's going to be. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then Paul says this in 1 Thessalonians 4:18. "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." What's your comfort level in this service today? The comfort that Paul is talking about goes back to those two words In Joshua 1 and verse 2, my servant. Whether you're comforted in this service, whether you're rejoicing in this service, or whether you are convicted, whether you're troubled, depends on those two words, my servant. My servant. One day it is going to be said of every person in this room, blank. And you can put your name in that blank. Is dead. Will the Lord say of you in that day, as He said of Moses, as He says of Brother Barry Fox, my servant is dead. That's why the Lord has brought each of us here. Always think about all the things that people have to do. And yet, on a Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock, here we are. Here you are. You're here. In the house of mourning. It's not an accident. The Lord has brought you here so that you, me, the living, will lay these things to our hearts about our end. Are you ready for your end? You can be. Because if you're lost today, the good news of the gospel is that there's someone who has been to the house of mourning for you. And His name is Jesus Christ the Lord. And your house of mourning for Him was the cross of Calvary, where Isaiah tells us that He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. He's been to the house of mourning before us. When He was wounded for our transgressions, when He was bruised for our iniquities, when the Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all, when God the Father made the Lord Jesus Christ His only begotten Son, who knew no sin, when He made Him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The title of this message is Now Therefore Arise. That was the Lord's message. That was His command to Israel there in the house of mourning. As they wept for Moses, there in the house of mourning, the Lord said to them, Now therefore arise. And that's God's command to us in this house of mourning today. If you're lost, God's command to you is now therefore arise. Now. There's urgency in that word. Because now God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. There's urgency in that because now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And you know not what a day may bring forth. Now therefore arise right where you are this afternoon. In the house of mourning, this house of mourning can be changed to a house of rejoicing for you if you'll humble your heart and repent of your sin and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. If we know the Lord today, the command to us is the same. Now therefore arise. Romans 13 and verse 11 says, And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. The day of the coming of the Lord. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light, the Lord Jesus Christ, and walk as children of light, that we might not be ashamed before Him at His coming. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Now, therefore, arise. Our Our Father, we thank you as we are in this service today that our thoughts are not your thoughts. Our thoughts are that the absolute last place that we would want to be is in the house of mourning. We want to be in the house of feasting. And yet your thoughts are that we can be in no better place than the house of mourning. To be reminded again in your mercy and grace that this is the end of all men. We thank you that Barry Fox was prepared for this day because he put his faith and trust in you and you alone. And there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And Father, we pray that if there's anyone here who's never trusted you as their Savior, that here in the house of mourning, as they are presented with the truth of your word, that this is their end, we pray that right now they would surrender their hearts to you. And for those of us who know you, we pray that we would now, therefore, arise and live for you in these last days and be a blessing to you, that our lives might count for eternity. We pray for Jean and for Jennifer, for Jeremy, for all of this family, the grandchildren. We pray that you would comfort them in these days and speak to them and help them to know your presence. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Services will conclude at the cemetery. If you all want to follow us, if you'll turn your headlights and flashers on for us, please. Thank you.
Good.
Yeah, there you go.